Welcome to the post-game show presented by Rico, Bo Wolf, and Adam Kaplan. The Eagles fall in Arizona to the Cardinals 27-6, and Adam, they just could not overcome the deficit that they fell into in the first half after once again being doomed by turnovers. That's the Achilles heel of this team, obviously, so far through three games, and they need to get rid of it. They couldn't get it over it today.
Yeah, and I think when you look at it, that's got to be the call of the week for the coaches. I know we keep talking about this after each game, but 12 turnovers in three games, just not acceptable. This has got to stop. Penalties were down a little bit. They only had five, but the turnovers in the red zone is just – it's unexplainable. I don't know what else to say. I mean, it's something you don't really expect, but let's give the Cardinals defense credit. They were terrific today.
And this is really where the game turned. It looked like the Eagles had a chance to, at the very least, make it 17-3, maybe 17-7 going into half. They go third and goal with 6 seconds left, elect to try to – score a touchdown before the end of the half. Michael Vick does not see the blindside blitz and gets sacked, and he took a little bit too long. And then the safety, James Sanders of the Cardinals, picks it up, runs 93 yards for a touchdown to make it 24-0 at the half. And really, there was no coming back from that for the Eagles.
No, and pre-snap recognition, Bo, in that play, it's all about Vick there. He's got to know what's going everywhere, not just in front of him. I was okay with the call, but it's on Vick. I mean, there's no question about it. It's on Vick. Vick got nailed today. I mean, between 15 and 18 times he got hit, that's got to be some kind of record for him. I will say this, there are only a couple of positives. I thought the pass protection for the most part was actually very, very good, which surprised me considering all the offensive line changes that the Eagles had. And you got to give Howard Mudd credit and the players credit. They gave Michael Vick a lot of time today.
Well, it was leaky at times, so it wasn't perfect throughout the
game. No, but for everything they had to go through in a short period of time, I thought they actually did a pretty good job.
Michael Vick on the day, 17 of 37 for 217 yards. Quarterback rating of 64.8. I believe it was hit actually 21 or 22 times.
Even more than I thought.
The final count there.
Wow.
Two fumbles lost, obviously. Damaris Johnson, the Eagles' leading receiver with 5 catches for 84 yards in place of Jeremy Maclin. But the biggest play for him on the day was losing the fumble on the punt return early in the first quarter. What did you make of this offense? You talked about replacing two guys on the offensive line, but without Jeremy Maclin, how much did that stagnate what this team can do?
Well, I think a couple things. Maclin, one of the things that he's really special with is his willingness to go over the middle. I mean, he's done that throughout his career here since 2009, and they miss that. He's also 6 feet. The other two receivers are smaller. You know, Vaughn's not explosive at all. He's a good inside receiver. So they're missing Maclin, no question, especially in the red zone where he's been really effective over his career. I have to give the Cardinals credit with Celek. I mean, they did a really good job on him. And the thing that I was surprised with is when the Eagles' offensive line gave Vick time and you saw him back there sometimes with between 5 and 7 seconds, either Vick didn't see anyone open or they're not getting open. That's certainly something that the coaches will see on tape. Vick's going to see as well.
We will bring you head coach Andy Reid's post-game press conference live in any minute here. We expect that it will be pretty soon, and we expect that it will be you've seen Andy Reid after a loss like this. He will say that it was a bad performance, and he'll take the blame. But the blame goes all over for this team. Defensively, they didn't get the job done in the first half either. Also, we'll take your calls, 215-337-6709. We'll probably have Michael Vick at the podium and hear from some other players in the locker room. But as for the defense, they did a good job in the second half, although when the game was ending down there in the fourth quarter, they couldn't stop the run when it seemed like they should have known it was coming. But for the most part, I thought the defense was all right. The problem really was Larry Fitzgerald in the first half was running too free.
Yeah, you saw him on the drag route for the big play, first down, and then the touchdown with the communication breakdown. They'll straighten that out, believe me. The first two games, communication was terrific. You know, unfortunately, when you have a communication sometimes, it only takes one guy to make a mistake and it blows the whole play. That's what happened on the touchdown. But the positives were the second half. They only gave up 3 points. The Eagles scored 6. But again, they did not. The Eagles, when they got down the red zone, field goals, not touchdowns, and that was a big issue.
Kevin Cobb, of course, our old friend. You know, as much as I like to root against other quarterbacks, I can't root against Kevin quite as much. I still have a bit of a soft spot for him. He played well, 17 of 24 for 222, 2 touchdowns, and that 127.4 quarterback rating. The Eagles, they got fairly consistent pressure on him, but he handled it well at times, and they couldn't close it and finish it as much as they needed to.
You know, no strip sacks. They didn't make him get rid of the football before he wanted to, and that is all about hurries. Remember, we talked with Eagles with hurries this season, number one defense like that. Coming into the game, You felt good about it. They didn't dominate the offensive line, but they didn't. Bo, that was the surprising thing. The Eagles' D-line did not dominate as much as they thought they would against the Cardinals' offensive line.
All right,
line.
We expect Andy Reid in any second here. So what are you going to look to? Oh, here we go, Andy Reid.
All right, Jordan has a hamstring strain, and then that's a primary one. Listen, they played better than we did. I mean, clearly better. They coached better. They played better. And so that's my responsibility. I didn't have my football team ready to play. They did. And, my hat's off to them. Field position turnovers. You can't play a good football team like that and have the turnovers that we've had and not have field position, so on. I mean, you've got to do a better job than that. And that again, absolutely is on me. I'm going to get my football team ready to play. I did a terrible job this week. Time, Drew.
AD on Michael's second fumble, corner blitz. Is that something he should see, or was someone else should have picked that up?
There are people that are responsible for that. But listen, it's we all take the responsibility for that. So it's
Did you think about kicking a field goal there instead of going for it on third down?
I thought about it. I thought we had an opportunity to get it in the end zone. Actually, the one you're talking about, the one at the just before the half, that was a free man there. Yep.
And I believe that the run pass ratio in the first half was 25 as opposed to 5 run calls. Can you explain what the ball process was?
Well, listen. Obviously, we thought we could throw the ball, do a better job in that area, but we didn't. So, hindsight, maybe we could have run the ball a little bit more.
Why did you call a timeout at the beginning of the second quarter? It seemed like you could use that timeout at the end of the second quarter pretty desperately.
Yeah, we had a problem there, so we need to use it.
Andy, how concerned are you with the hits Michael's taken, and how much do you think they're affecting his judgment and his play out there?
Well, listen, he got hit too much. So we've got to – and I can help out with that. I mean, some of that's my responsibility there.
With the Macklin out, was there more of a concerted effort to get the ball to Deshaun a little bit?
We try to do that. We try to do that all the time. So try to mix it up and mix and match.
Andy, the turnover problem is something that goes back to last year. I know every week you go over them. What else can you do?
Well, you've got to make sure that we're putting the guys in the right position to make the plays, and then the guys have to make the play. So we all have – it's all of our responsibility there.
Andy, can you talk about the play at the end of the half and how much of, I guess, an emotional swing that was as you guys were trying to punch it in and then take it the other way?
Yeah, well, listen, you can't – that's not good, right? So I thought our guys came in – they came out and battled the second half. We just dug ourselves a hole, and then we didn't score touchdowns. We were doing all the field goal things. So.
Can you explain the holding penalty?
No, I can't. The one I can't explain. I can't explain that. I honestly don't have an answer for you.
They forced you to take the penalty.
I don't have an answer for you. I just I can't go where I can't answer that question.
Andy Fitzgerald had a big first half. They moved him around a lot, from the slot, from left, from right. Can you talk about the problems he caused in that first half?
Well, listen, they did a good job with it. We knew they were going to move him around. That's what they do. I mean, they've shown that, we got to do a little bit better job there.
You take us through his touchdown catch. It looked like Osmond was on him initially, and then from there, was there a communication issue?
There was a communication issue, yep. There was.
Okay.
Yeah.
With your offensive line, what did you see? I know you have to watch the tape and all, but just were the right calls being made at the line?
Yeah, listen, I mean, they got us on a few blitzes. They blitzed quite a little bit, and they got us a few times. So there was a combination of things last time. I can't tell you it was one thing every snap, though. I mean, there was a new experience. So.
Why the field goal late in the third quarter, down 24-3?
Well, listen, we felt like points were crucial at that time, and we had time on the clock to where we felt like if we could get things switched around, we were moving the ball halfway decent. So we thought that would give us the best chance of coming back. Yeah.
Andy, you said you didn't think you had the team ready to play. What do you
Well, listen, we came out here. We didn't play well, and that's my responsibility. And so we got to go back, and we've got to detail our work better than what we did, and I've got to make sure that we do that.
Is, Arizona's defense the strongest you've faced so far this season?
They're a very good defense. Very good defense. We knew that coming in. They were a good defense.
Did you know that Cobb was going to be getting the ball out quick? I mean, you guys probably figured that coming in.
Figured he'd get it out quick. Yep. We figured that, yes.
At this point, is there any way to make Michael more aware in the pocket to give him better presence? I mean, he's 32. Is there anything you can do?
Well, listen, I would tell you, I've got to help him with certain things. And then, and then we've got to make sure we have the right protection calls and so on. I mean, and then he's got to make sure he sees them. It's a combination of things here. So but collectively, we've all got to do better. And when you have one of these losses like this, this is what it is. You can't point at one thing here or one person. It was a collective effort. And that's my responsibility there.
As the hits piled up late in the game, did you think about putting Nick Foles in just to give Michael a break?
No.
And you're down off three offensive linemen, obviously. Do you feel like you have the personnel to get it done up front?
Yeah, I felt like that coming in. And I'm going to go back. I'll study everything and make sure that I look at it. But I wish you could say it was one thing. It's not one thing or one person or all that. So.
Okay. All right.
I mean, obviously a very disappointed Andy Reid. The one major injury, Akeem Jordan left with a hamstring injury. He didn't play most of the second half. He was replaced by Brian Roll. We'll see what happens there moving forward. Fletcher Cox left at one point with a migraine. He came back and played. Michael Kendricks missed a few plays and came back as well. But Akeem, the only real one there. And you heard it, as we predicted, Andy Reid saying he didn't do a good enough job preparing this team. That's pretty par for the course. And, They were outplayed today. There's no question about it.
Well, listen, Andy's right, because leadership starts at the top. And we saw in that Thursday night game where the Panthers got blown out at home and the Eagles got blown out on the road here. Starts at the top. You know, the coaches, you know, when things go down early, you've got to rally the guys, get them back, and the entirety of the coaching staff has to get guys to do the right thing. And I thought the Eagles fought. I mean, they clearly fought. I mean, you saw the third quarter. They seemed to be getting themselves together, but it was too late. And too many breakdowns in the red zone. Turnovers in the first half, inexcusable. Play it to end the second quarter, inexcusable. I mean, you just can't have this. 12 turnovers in three games. The Eagles have to look at and say, you know what, we're lucky to be 2-1 right now, because any other team probably would not. But the thing that's different with this team is they have a lot of heart. Last year, Bo, I never felt that they could come back when they were down. Too many mental errors. But today, getting down early, being down 17-0, you just can't have that.
Well, Adam, you know, as ugly as the turnovers of the first half were, maybe things are getting better here. 5 turnovers in game 1, 4 in game 2, 3 today.
Yeah.
Maybe there'll only be 2 next week.
Yeah, there's a positive, and I said to lead us off here, only 5 penalties. But the thing that is alarming and that is absolutely inexcusable is the ball security. I mean, 6 fumbles in 3 games, you can't have that, man. You're not going to survive that when they play the Giants at Lincoln Financial Field next Sunday night. Against that team, you're not going to get away with it.
And that's going to be a huge game, obviously. Brian Dawkins will be having his number retired at halftime, so you know that the Lincoln Financial Field crowd is going to be very into that game. Going up against the hated Giants, 2-1 both teams, 3-way tie atop the division now. The Cowboys won as well. Redskins lost today. That's your NFC East picture. We await Michael Vick's press conference. Is going to be coming up fairly soon, we expect. But we're also taking your phone calls, 215-339-6709, and we lead things off on the post-game show presented by Rico with John from Philly. John, what are your thoughts after obviously a disappointing loss for the Eagles?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad to be on here. It's very rare that I get a chance to call in. I love the team. There's a few things that I just have to get off my chest. First of all, you just don't have a 1,300-yard rusher and not run the ball with the guy. First half, McCoy had 2-3 carries. It's just unacceptable. Now, to be honest with you, I thought the offensive line was overrated from the begin with. I did not believe. I don't believe in Mathis. We had Peters and Ty Hermans. They are the best offensive line. All the other guys, Kelsey, he's too small. You can't say the offensive line do a good job when Michael Vick is getting hit 20 times. I don't care what nobody say. That's just ridiculous. He showed that he's trying to be a pocket passer. It does not work. when the guys, our receivers, is not big enough to beat the press and the bump and run, he has to be himself and start running.
Okay, and what's that going to do? I mean, what's
that going to do?
Yeah.
That's going to bring the Eagles team when Michael Vick had took the job to begin with. When he took Kevin Cobb's job, that's the guy we need out on the field. Trying to change him into a pocket passer is just getting him killed out there.
So wait a minute. When he had one of his best games against the Ravens last week playing in the pocket, complete nonsense. I completely disagree.
A best game against the Ravens, I mean, okay, that was a good game. They barely pulled that off, but I just do not believe that he needs to stay in the pocket to win football games. He's getting killed.
What is he going to do? Where is he going to throw the football from?
He's got to throw the football. Just like I said, if you go back when he took the job, that's the Michael Vick we need out there playing. I'm sorry, because the offensive line is too suspect. I got Howard Mudd. He's been around forever, but he was in the AFC behind Peyton Manning. That makes everybody look good. We don't have those type of offensive linemen. We just don't have it.
John, I
don't believe in the coaching. Here we go again with pass heavy. You have a 1,300-yard rusher. The whole first half you don't run McCoy, and then you run him when we're down 24 points?
Well, John, that's actually I can't disagree with you there. Coming into this game with no Jeremy Maclin, we certainly expected that the Eagles would lean a little bit more on the run game, and Shady did only get 4 carries in the first half. Certainly, we expected more than that. Then he got 13 carries total on the day. But listen, I don't disagree. Now, part of that has to do with the Eagles didn't even run many plays in the first half because they had several three and outs.
Yeah.
But listen, LeSean McCoy is probably the best player on the team. He needs the ball a little bit more, I think.
No, I agree with that. But the thing, and I can't wait to watch the tape, because there were so many plays where Vic had time. I mean, there were a couple of plays where he had the ball like 7 or 8 seconds, and he didn't get rid of the football until he got hit. That part of why he got hit today is because he held on the ball too long. Now, again, were the tight ends and receivers getting open? We don't know that.
Yeah, thanks for the call, John. Still taking your calls, 215-339-6709, as we await Michael Vick to the podium. Let's go back to the phone lines now. We have Herb from Philly, the professor. Herb, make us feel better, my friend.
Somewhere the sun is shining.
Actually, today in Philly it was. It was beautiful.
Yeah, that was a clunker.
It was.
But I guess, well, the clunker's a clunker, but I guess the offensive line bothered me the most. But I hope they can clean that up.
They gave inside pressure up. There's no question about it. But considering everything, there are so many plays. I wish I would have heard of the game. How many times Vic was back there for 7, 8, 9 seconds, and either no one, again, was getting open, or he didn't see anybody open. I don't know what the problem was, but let's also give the Cardinals defense credit. They were terrific today.
To your point, Herb,
they really have an exceptional defense, I think. I think it's really that
execution
good.
Terrific, yep.
They have very good linebackers. Darrell Washington and O'Brien Schofield were all over the place today. To your point about the offensive line, Herb, a tweet from one of the Eagles beat reporters in Arizona says that Demetrius Bell says the offensive line was not on the same page all game long.
Hmm. Yeah. I don't know if that means the run or pass game, because the run game, they had a couple good runs in the second half, but when they ran the ball in the first half, it was non-existent.
I think they ran it in the second half because they were able to.
They backed off. Right, but remember, and you can see this, the Cardinals were giving up big runs because they're playing nickel and dime. They're like, hey, go ahead and run you one. You're taking more time off the clock. Remember, 6.5-minute drive, they got 3 points.
Yeah,
that was the game there, not getting a touchdown.
That defense just had us overwhelmed, and I think our line just wasn't up to snuff. It's true about Vic. It's true there were plenty of plays where he was there forever.
Yeah, which is surprising, and maybe it's a reflection of guys not getting open.
Well, that's what we don't know. We don't know if there was no Jeremy Maclin today. No. We don't know if these receivers had separation. You have DeMaris Johnson and DeSean Jackson.
But I'm telling you, there are plenty of plays today where the line did their job and something happened where either guys were not getting open or Vic didn't see them. And, you know, I would agree with those in the first half and said, hey, why didn't McCoy get the ball more? But again, Eagles got out ball controlled big time in the first half. They just didn't have it long enough.
Thank you for the call, Herb. Now, Adam, as we talk about what is next for this Eagles team, a tough slate of 3 games here before the bye. Home game next Sunday night against the Giants, national television, Sunday Night Football. That's going to be a very big game. Next week, they'll go at Pittsburgh. for the interstate rivalry, of course, and then they welcome the Detroit Lions home for the sixth game of the season. A pretty tough slate. They got to win a couple games here.
That's a brutal schedule there before they go to the bye in week seven, and they are 2-1, but you look at it, you see the Giants who are getting the Giants needed time off because they had so many guys hurt, so they're getting 10 days off. Then you got the Steelers who were up late in their game at Oakland. Then you talk about the Lions who went through it. Such an emotional game today. Matthew Stafford got hurt, and their defense has not played well. I mean, you talk about the competitive balance. I mean, it's amazing throughout the NFL.
Jeremy from Atlanta, we're going to get to you in a little bit, but we think that Michael Vick is coming to the podium any second now. So what are you looking to hear from Michael Vick? Well, here we go.
Here he is.
Mr. Vick.
I wish I could tell you. I just know that, you know, overall, we have to play better. That starts with me. And we just got to go back to the drawing board and figure it out. You know, got to give a lot of credit to the Arizona Cardinals. They played a great game.
Play at the end of the first half. What happened there?
You know, it was a situation where I should have been looking to get the ball out of my hands if things wasn't there. You know, tried to hold on to it, make a play, and you know, just took a hit.
It looked like when you came up to the line that 25 was on the line there. You didn't have anybody on that side. Did you coming for you?
Yeah, I knew he was coming, you know, and was just hoping that the back would pick him up. But, still trying to make a play. That's my responsibility. You know, I got to get that taken care of in the protection schemes, especially with a new center, and just got to play better.
How was that new center quarterback thing going for the whole game?
Dallas did pretty good. It wasn't any miscommunications. I think he did a great job of, identifying guys. And we just got to, continue to build on what he progressed in. But obviously, at the end of the day, we have to make plays. We have to keep the defense off the field and put points on the scoreboard.
Why does it spiral out of control the way it did?
I wish I could tell you. I wish I had all the answers right now. The only thing I know is that, we didn't play our best, nowhere near what we had potential to do. And we just got to, regroup, watch the film, learn from it, and get back to practice and find a way to, cut back on the turnovers and find a way to put points on the board and help our defense out.
What did the starting backs do from a cover standpoint? Even if you had time in the pocket, it seemed like there was never anything else downfield.
They played some good coverage. They played a lot of zone. Did some good things on the back end, and took away a deep threat. But I give a lot of credit to them. They played a great game, and they beat us.
Mike, how concerned are you about the amount of hits you're taking with another game with a lot of
hits? I'm not concerned at all. I'm gonna continue to, just keep fighting with my teammates. That's what means the most to me, and try to help them out as much as I can, and help this football team.
Can this team win with you taking that many hits?
I don't know. Hopefully, we can get it together. But, the thing about this team is, a very resilient group of guys. We stick together regardless of what. And we know that the next week can be the absolute opposite of what happened today. So we're going to continue to keep fighting and try to keep getting wins.
Do you think something has to change though dramatically in how you guys go about game plan, what you do? Because now it's been repetitive in three straight games and you're taking hits and turning the ball over.
I think we're gonna have to make a lot of adjustments. And I think our coaches do a great job of doing that. I think it's just about them watching film and figuring it out. Us as players, figuring it out because we have responsibilities as well.
Mike, you're talking turnovers now for 3 weeks in a row. What do you do to try and get this turned around so it doesn't happen twice for
you? The only thing we can do is to eliminate them when we're out on the field. It's easy to talk about it. It's easy to say it. But when you're in the moment, you got to eliminate the turnovers. And we'll do it. Everything happens for a reason.
You had a stretch early last season where you were fumbling and then you kind of stopped. Was there something that you did, or is that just the way the ball bounces?
I think sometimes you just don't catch a lucky break. Sometimes things don't go your way. Sometimes you have games like this. But the most important thing is to rebound from it, is to watch the film as learn as much as you can. Everybody accept responsibility. as players and try to figure it out.
Do you expect
a chance to talk to Kevin? What did you think about the way he
played? I think Kev played great today. I think he came out and played like the way he's supposed to, and he did a great job of leading his football team and putting points on the board. And we got to find a way to do the same thing.
With Jeremy out, did you have a more concerted effort to get today?
Not really. I think Demaris, he did some good things out there. Obviously it would have been great to have Macklin out, but I believe in the guys who are out there playing with me, and that'll never change. I continue to, keep getting up, keep firing. I accept responsibility for the things that, don't go well. I accept responsibility for the offense, not putting points on the board because I am the quarterback. So we'll get it corrected.
Okay. Thank you, Mike.
Thanks, Michael.
Michael Vick at the podium taking responsibility for part of the Eagles' loss to the Arizona Cardinals, falling to 2-1 on the season. And Adam, we're going to be back with more on the kickoff show here, or the postgame show presented by Rico. Taking your phone calls, 215-339-6709. We're going to have some more reaction from players in the locker room to the loss, and we're going to take a look at some of the highlights from the loss to the Cardinals. Back with more on the postgame show presented by Rico.
On my journey across America, I found new ways to tell people about saving money. This is Bobby. Say hello, Bobby.
Hello, Bobby!
Do you know you could save hundreds on car insurance over the phone, online, or at your local Geico office? Tell us, Bobby, what would you do with all those savings?
Hire a bit of a ventriloquist. Your lips are moving.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
An ankle sprain is an injury to one or more of the ligaments around the ankle, usually involving the outer aspect of the ankle. Ankle sprains occur from rolling the ankle during an athletic event. The severity of ankle sprains can range from a stretch injury to a partial tear to even complete tears of the ligaments. If you have sustained an ankle injury or any other sports-related injury, make an appointment at the Rothman Institute at Jefferson, the leading provider of orthopedic care in the region.
We live in a smart world. Smart cars, smart homes, smartphones. Now it's your turn to be smart. Visit Smart Health today and get smart insights, health updates, and health tips for you and your family.
Prostate cancer is the second leading cause of cancer death among men.
If you're a man aged 40 or older, talk to your doctor to see if having a prostate cancer screening is a good idea for you.
Don't delay. Take action early. Make a play. Beat prostate cancer.
Looking for a place to get the very latest on your Philadelphia Eagles? Then join us right here at 7 o'clock for Eagles Nightly, your one-stop shop for Eagles news, highlights, and a whole lot more. Monday through Friday at 7 o'clock, only on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
All right, back to the phone lines on the postgame show presented by Rico. Jeremy from Atlanta calls us. What's up, Jeremy?
What's going on, fellas? Bo and Adam, how you
how
guys
you?
Doing?
All right, thanks for holding.
Well, yeah, man, Adam, I'm a huge fan. I follow you on Twitter.
Thank you.
My Twitter handle is, I send you a lot of messages all the time.
Gotcha, thanks.
So you're the one.
Yes, sir.
Bo's funny for a guy who's not very funny. Very good.
Yeah, but anyway, man, the game. Two big plays in the game that I think to me speaks volumes about the same thing. I mean, as a longtime Eagle fan, you keep complaining about the same things. But in the red zone on that fumble, Vic clearly didn't pick up the blitz, and the play design of that play seemed kind of sketchy. It looked like they were looking for a slant for Jackson to come across on a slant over the middle. For 6 seconds left on the clock, it just was a lot of stuff waiting to happen for that play to develop. And then another big play when we was coming down, we had 6 points. I think it was like 3rd and 9. They called that playback on Selleck. And the play action, we called the play action on 3rd and 9.
Yeah.
And I've been noticing that a lot lately on big plays. Just And this makes me wonder, does Zeke have the authority at all to change some of these plays on big play situations? It's almost like the difference with him as a quarterback is it just seems like he doesn't have the authority at the line of scrimmage to make changes to plays in, like, crucial moments. It's almost like he sticks with it, but it's putting them in bad positions. And we keep hearing the same thing from Andy and Marty. And as much as I, you know, love Andy as a coach and what he's done for the organization and Marty, but they seem like they're just joined at the hip. Like, it's like monkey see, monkey do. Whatever one says, the other one is going to be, you know, going to go right along with it. I don't see the compare and contrast or the yin and yang to our offensive play call. And it's almost, you know, it is what it is. You're going to get what you get. And and we're going to continue to be a team that loses games like this. I mean, who's really shocked? I mean, Adam, you called the score. It just flip-flopped.
Yeah, right.
As an Eagles fan, I mean, aren't you tired of losing these games this way?
Well, it's only, listen, I hear you. You made some good points. It's only one game. It's an individual game. There's some real bad tape that they're going to correct. And then the thing to the side is the turnovers are just an embarrassment of epic proportion. You just can't – you know, it's a shame because when you make a good play and then you turn the ball over, it's such a – it wears on you mentally. Players have told me this for years. And to continue to lose the ball in the red zone, I just don't understand it. I mean, three times last week. Yeah. One this week. And then I'm gonna something I thought about on that play – it's Jeremy, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
On the Vic turnover to end the half. This has been a major problem for him ever since that Minnesota Viking games 2 years ago. The crazy Tuesday game that got rescheduled because of the snow. Pre-snap, sometimes he does not see both sides. I cannot tell you how many times I've seen this on tape. He doesn't even look at either the left or the right side. That is on him. That is not coaching. I'm telling you, that's on him.
Jeremy, let me ask you this. If you could allow yourself to take a step back from this game and look at the big picture of the last three games, coming into the year sitting at 2-1 through three games, how does that change your perception of this team moving forward?
Well, I mean, I'm excited that we're 2-1. Don't get me wrong. I mean, looking at the NFC and the way the Saints are playing, because I honestly think the emergence of the Saints
exactly, Jeremy. That's exactly.
Kind of stumbled us from getting to the playoffs for a few years because, really, I think they've taken our spot in the playoffs the last 3 or 4 years with their play. So I'm excited. I mean, I'm from Louisiana. I'm excited to see that they're losing, but I'm just disappointed that we can't take advantage because we keep playing the same way. When we have a great defense, our defense is a lot better. And as an Eagles fan, it's almost like every year. Always an element to this team that takes a step back, and to me it comes down to the coaching again. I mean, it's you know, last year the offense was very decent. I mean, the last 3 years the offense has been pretty good. We've had a mediocre defense, subpar special teams. Again, we've talked a lot about the special teams this year, but we're not seeing any big plays in the return game or a punt return game. And I think, you know, we need to and another thing with big receiver, that play with Deshaun caught the ball at like the 2 yard line. He was already diving to his knees when he caught that ball. He did not want to get hit.
Yep.
But you take a player, you know, a 6'3", 6'4", whatever, 200-pound player, he might ride that tackle right into the end zone.
You know, I've seen that play 10 times now, and I'm not absolutely positive that he was trying to duck. Jeremy, very good point you made.
Thank you for the call, Jeremy. Very good call. The one thing that I've been thinking about in terms of wanting Shady to get the ball more, you know, only 4 carries in the first half, 13 on the game. We heard from Andy Reid. He was asked many times this offseason about limiting LeSean's touches this season after he led the league in touches last year, had by far the most snaps of any running back in the league. You do wonder if that plays into it. This is still early in the season. It's only the third game. Do you think there's an element of trying to keep his pitch count down a little bit so that he'll be hotter towards the end of the year?
You look at his carry count, and you mentioned the 13 carries. And it was interesting that Bryce Brown got time in the second half. When you're trying to catch up, you might think that McCoy would be in there. But, you know, Bryce Brown definitely has this role to give him a breather every now and then. He's clearly the number two back. Deion Lewis, again, a healthy and active. Chris Polk active, but I don't even remember him playing. If he played, he might have been on special teams.
Special teams.
Yeah, because I didn't see him play. But bottom line is, too many mental breakdowns on offense. It's interesting, that comment, I guess, Demetrius Bell apparently had, that the offensive line was not in sync. But, you know, it's hard to tell when you're not looking at tape. But I saw some times today where A-gap pressure really got them badly. And then, you know, I give Vic credit, though. It's funny, sometimes I'm watching the game and I'm like, why isn't he running? But he's still hanging in the pocket. Actually, that has been the best part overall that surprised me about Vic this season. He's actually hanging in the pocket, letting plays develop, but then there's the other part. He's not letting get rid of the football. What's happening? Are guys not getting open, or is he not seeing the field clearly?
Well, Adam, sometimes you're a better pro than even you know. As you mentioned what Demetrius Bell said, let's find out exactly what he said as we go to Demetrius Bell in the locker room from Arizona.
Just got to be on the same page as the offensive line when you're with the crowd being that loud.
Were you?
Sometimes I would say so. Sometimes it worked.
What were they doing up front that was confusing you guys? Were they throwing different packages at you? I mean, rushing different guys, dropping different guys?
I don't think they were doing nothing spectacular up front. I think just sometimes we wasn't on the same page.
Is that just a product of having two new guys in there today?
No, I wouldn't say that. It was loud and it just wasn't on the same page.
The play at the end of the first half, who is assigned that guy?
I can't even remember the play in the first half.
It was the fumble that was returned all the way.
Yeah.
You know, the safety blitz.
I was backside of it. I really don't know.
Who were you supposed to back on that
play? The guy that I blocked that was hit up over me, I'm sure.
That was from the left side. The blitz was from the left side, yeah.
It was a guy with a head up five or whatever that spiked, and I blocked him. You know, I don't know what came off the edge or nothing like that. But,
how tough is it when you know Michael's getting hit as much as he did tonight? You know, that's a key in this. You got to keep
him
clean.
That, man. You got to keep him clean at all times, man. Quarterback of that caliber, you got to keep him clean, keep him on the field.
All right, so that was Demetrius Bell. Now, Adam, I want to take a look at where this game turned there at the end of the first half. Our last caller referenced it. The Eagles driving with the chance to cut the lead. They're down 17-0 going into the half, or with a few minutes left, they're driving. And this is a nice pass from Michael Vick to DeSean Jackson. And it does look like maybe he doesn't give it his full effort to get into the end zone, but he's coming.
Actually, I just caught something. It was actually before he got to the two. As soon as he got it, he put his head down. Okay, now I know what everyone saw. But see, I didn't catch that before. Right? See, yes. Okay, you're right. Okay, that angle shows it absolutely clearly. It is what it is, man. I mean, you know, he needs to go forward.
So the Eagles have 16 seconds here and no timeouts left. So they try to get a few plays in. That's the first one.
They did a good job of that.
Michael Vick did a good job, which he didn't do last week of throwing the ball away in that situation. Second down and goal here. They go for it again. And again, Michael Vick throws it away.
That's fine.
And that's not very good interior pass protection.
No, it
wasn't.
A gap pressure. We keep.
So here's the decision point. 6 seconds left. What do you do? Do you kick the field goal and only go down two scores? And if you're going for a pass here, you got to call something really quick. And that seemed like that took a little bit too long to develop. He obviously, as you talked about, did not see
left
the pre-snap
side,
read there.
Left side, never saw it. Rashad Johnson hit him.
He sneaks around the end there. He sort of hides himself pre-snap. And then, you know, credit to LeSean McCoy for even giving this a chance to try to
good hustle.
Stop
yeah,
James
good hustle.
Sanders. But but this is where the game turned. The
that
Eagles,
was a game there.
It was going to be a two-possession game either way, whatever kind of points you get there. And all of a sudden you're going down 24-0, completely dejected, as that's
of
the
course.
Last play of the half.
Right.
That totally changes
Think
the,
about it. You
game.
Go down. You're down 17-0. You move right downfield, which is exactly what you're trying to do. And you score a touchdown. You're down by 10 at halftime, because that would have been the end of the half. You know what? After everything that happened, you're only down 10 points. It's actually not too bad. You have that touchdown there. To me, the game was over mentally. I give them credit for trying to fight back in the third quarter. Took field goals when they needed touchdowns. It is what it is. They had a bad performance. And the last two halves against the Cardinals in Arizona, the championship game in 2008, and this game, not very good.
You should not have brought that game up. You're going to just depress everybody.
So,
even
hey,
more.
It is what it is.
All right. John from Florida joins us on the line now. John, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing today?
All right, you don't have to lie. You're not doing too well, right?
No, I'm not. I'm not, actually. And I just wanted to comment as to why on the play Michael Vick didn't see the guy coming off of the edge, whereas they got the 93-yard fumble return. The thing is, you're speaking to a guy who's played quarterback, and when you, that play is designed, which is why Michael Vick was looking in that area for some type of quick slot pass or slant.
Yep.
And he was looking there, and it wasn't there. So to answer your question, the reason he didn't get it wasn't that he didn't. It was designed to get rid of it fast.
No, I get that. It's hot. No, I get that. But here's the thing, though. Pre-snap, this has been a common problem for him. He doesn't look. If you look at quarterback play in the National Football League, you have to see the whole field.
Well, if you roll this back, look, he's actually.
He never looked over there. He never looked over there. I mean, I know what you're talking about because the ball's got to come out hot and quick. In fact, he held it all way too long here. One, two. He never
and
sees him.
And Jason Vaughn is maybe open if he's looking that way.
But you know what? At the same time, it's. To me, that guy shouldn't have been able to come in that easily.
I agree with that.
There's no such thing as people being able to come off of the end and not get touched, and that happened so many times in this game.
It's a fair point, John.
People came in, and they were untouched. So the offensive, I'm not saying Michael Vick didn't make some bad plays because he did, but at the same time, another guy called in earlier, and I agree, they need – They don't have big receivers. I would suggest Plexico Burgers for red zone.
Here we go. You can't sign a guy just to play in the red zone, though. I don't know if the guy could run anymore, to be honest with you.
Well, no, he can. I think he'll do pretty good because their receivers are too small for these big defensive backs.
Well, Macklin would have helped today. He's really good in the red zone. He would.
But just to let you guys know, I think they have problems on the offensive line, and they really need to fit. He's some big offensive line guys, and Michael Vick's not perfect. But and the other thing is they need to let him be the Michael Vick of the Miracle in the Meadowlands Part 2. That's the Michael Vick we need.
Let me just explain something to you, John. He did not play well in that game. Fourth quarter, he made a couple plays. We need to get off of this idea that Michael Vick is better moving around and running around. It's like you want him to play, playground ball.
I don't fully agree with you. I think there's a common ground to be found there where you can let Michael Vick do the things that he does well. You know, he's 32 years old.
All right, give me an example. What kind of play should he
run? How about the touchdown to Jeremy Macklin last week when he's rolling left and he can see the
getting
field
rid of the
like
ball,
that?
Exactly. Getting rid of the ball quickly, getting it out of his hands. I'd rather see that.
Yes.
You got to play 60 plays a game on
offense. All I'm saying is I think there's a happy medium. Because, listen, as we said, he took 22 hits in this game.
No, listen, I'm fine. There was a one play I really like when they had a rolling pocket where they had him roll. The entire offensive line went left and he went left. Get the ball out of his hands. You negate the pass rush. I'm fine with that.
Especially when the offensive line, you have two new parts in this game.
That's
I think
fine.
Maybe you move the pocket a little
That's
bit.
That's fine. But this idea that he's better off being rolling outside the pocket, it's like you want him to make plays up like they're going along there. That's not the way the game is played.
All right. Thanks for the call, John. As for that offensive line, you know, Dallas Reynolds steps in at center for Jason Kelce. It's going to be his job for the rest of the season, we expect.
Well, we'll see. His job now.
That's true, and Vallis is there, and they were fighting for the job in the preseason.
Right.
He could be on the heels there. I expect that King Dunlap will probably go back to left tackle next week, but we'll see what
happens.
It's a great
question. Yeah, this is a situation where, it was Dunlap's game, so to speak, but it wasn't like he was playing lights out. I wonder what the tape looks like for Demetrius Bell because I saw some good things today, some things he needs to work on. This offensive line's got some issues. Again, there were some positives today because there were plenty of plays where they gave Michael Vick a lot of time. But, you know, when you only dressed four receivers, one was Marty Gilliard who they had cut. You got to see guys get open, and that's something that's going to have to happen against the Giants who've had problems in the secondary with injuries.
All right, back to the phone lines now. Greg from Harrisburg. How are you, Greg?
Good. How are you guys?
All right. Thanks for calling.
My observation is it seems like, you know, every time, like for instance, the Deshaun Jackson play, he's running down the field. He's looking for a penalty before the ball's even completed. If he would have kept running, that would have been a touchdown. Or somebody's jumping up, looking to blame someone. It looks like they're always looking for someone to hand them something.
You know what?
Instead of
you
going out and make something happen.
You know what? That quarter of a second, and he lost track of the ball, John. That's an outstanding point by you. You will never know if he could have caught it, but you know what? You can't be doing that.
Well, I also think that there's an element
penalty,
of this where he was right.
Yeah.
That should have been a penalty.
It's
a legal contact down the
you
field.
You can't do that.
And I think what the ref was saying was only uncatchable. Well, that's
right. We don't know.
No, here's what it was. Brian Billick was saying after the game, you can't lift your arm like that and then not run because then you're not going to catch the ball.
Right.
But then he said it was uncatchable. So it's one or the other, buddy.
No, but here's the thing. That split second could have been the difference between him catching it or not. We'll never know.
That's true.
He didn't get out.
And you got to play to the whistle, but that was a penalty.
Right. Oh, absolutely.
You guys don't think that they should have at least tried one run with 17 seconds to go? They could have spiked the ball if they had to.
It's so tough because if it gets muddled up in there, there's a really good chance.
No timeouts, my friend.
Yeah, and we've seen that at the end of the half before with Andy Reid. So I think they learned that lesson, but not to be this time. How do you feel, Greg, going into next Sunday's showdown against the Giants?
I feel good, but I think, like everyone else, I think Adam's a little bit crazy. They need to go ahead and let Vic be Vic and take off.
Greg, it's actually kind of funny. If you were here, you would probably know this. Bo was sitting next to me watching the game. There must have been 10 times I said, Vic, run the football. But here's what I'm saying. When he had 6, 7, 8, 9 seconds to go, run the football. No one's open. You have to make a decision. You're either going to get rid of the football or run. I'm one of these people who says, you know what? If the play breaks down or no one's open, run.
Well, I think that's what callers are saying.
But here's where I have a problem. When people are saying just they want him to actually throw the football, move away and get rid of the football.
Oh, I don't think pretty much what you're saying is that if the read's not there, the first one or two reads aren't there, then maybe take off.
When we're up to 5 and 6 seconds, he's going to get hit every single time because you can't ask an offensive line to hold the ball up that long. You just can't.
One more thing, Adam. You don't think we could use a bigger wide receiver?
Sure, that would help, but you got to understand. I hear you, Greg, but here's the problem. There's a reason why those guys are still out there.
Yes, and thanks for the call, Greg. The other thing is I fully expect that Jeremy Maclin will be back next week. I feel like this was it was a pain tolerance issue. The full week off.
He couldn't run well enough. I know that for a fact. That was the problem. And I'm with you. I would be very surprised getting another week off if it's fine if he doesn't practice a lot. He just has to get out there and show what he can run, Bo. Because you go against the Giants, and with all that offensive firepower, that's the thing about this game against the Carolina Panthers. Ramses Barden, are you kidding me? Having the monster game. Andre Brown filling in for Ahmad Bradshaw. Martellus Bennett, who's an absolute stud right now at tight end, who's sort of like a lower case of Jimmy Graham, kid 6'6". Dallas never used him correctly. Now the Giants are finding that. The Giants, Bo, right now have a ton of firepower. I would fully expect Akeem Nicks, who was close to playing last week, to play in this game.
It's going to be a very, very interesting game and one of the ones we're looking forward to the most this season. Can't wait to see Brian Dawkins at halftime. Take a quick commercial break here on the postgame show presented by Rico. More of your phone calls on the other side and more reaction from the Eagles in the locker room following the 27-6 loss to the Arizona Cardinals.
What? You got a dog?
Yeah, he's a rescue dog. Name's Wego.
What kind of name is that?
Call him.
Here we go.
Wow, wow, wow. No.
Yep.
Here we go.
Here we go.
Thank you. Here we go.
It's the sure sign of a good time. Just right taste of Bud Light. Here we go.
You're the boss of your life, in charge of long weekends and longer retirements. Ask your financial professional how Lincoln Financial can help you take charge of your future.
We live in a smart world. Smart cars, smart homes, smart phones. Now it's your turn to be smart. Visit Smart Health today and get smart insights, health updates, and health tips for you and your family.
Looking for a place to get the very latest on your Philadelphia Eagles? Then join us right here at 7 o'clock for Eagles Nightly, your one-stop shop for Eagles news, highlights, and a whole lot more. Monday through Friday at 7 o'clock, only on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Flacco backpedals. The rush is coming. He's being chased. He's being sacked. D'Amico Ryans has him. Flacco takes the snap. He's back. He's looking. He fires. And it's intercepted. It's intercepted by the Eagles. It's picked off by D'Amico Ryans. They say he's down on contact. But D'Amico Ryans with the pick.
Hey, it's D'Amico Ryans. You're watching PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Welcome back to the postgame show presented by Rico. And Adam, we're going to look at that touchdown that Larry Fitzgerald scored. There was a definite miscommunication between Nnamdi Asamoah and Kurt Coleman. It seemed like Nnamdi was waiting for some kind of inside help from Coleman. We saw them talking about it afterwards on the sideline. Let's find out what Kurt Coleman said in the locker room. What did it look like to you?
Well, it looked like outside leverage, which funnels the play inside. And then that's why he looked over. Where's my help? That's what happened.
All right, so let's go to the Arizona locker room. Kurt Coleman, what does he say about the play?
It's my fault.
It didn't look like it.
It's my fault.
Was it?
It's my fault.
It was just a miscommunication?
It's my fault. It's my fault. It's just my fault. I'll get better, and I'll take that one. It's mine.
Was it a mental thing or a physical thing?
Just happened. It's my fault. You know, but that one touchdown didn't make or break this game. We did it the whole first half. We were just not making plays, hurting ourselves, third and long situations, and we were just hurting ourselves. So. Like I said, we got to be able to learn from this, get better, and come back stronger next week against the Giants.
Kirk, you're only three and out of the first half.
You watched that?
They forced the punch, and the punt was fumbled. Was that deflating for the defense to have to go back out in the field after that?
Oh, No. We want to thrive in adversity. We want to be able to, if there's a turnover, whether it be in the offense or, special teams, we got to be able to go back and get the offense the ball. And, we did so at certain times and we didn't at other times. So we got to be able to get better, watch film, and get ready for next week.
Kurt, was there ever any talk of doubling Fitzgerald going into this, just following him everywhere?
Look, we have two of the best cornerbacks in the league with Nnamdi and DR. So, there were times where we did and times where we didn't. Larry had I don't even know what type of game he had. But, other than the big play that he had for the touchdown, everything was short plays. So.
I apologize if you've already been asked, but on that play, it looks like there may have been a communication issue on the touchdown play. I'm sorry.
It was my fault. My fault.
Can you detail just a little bit?
No, it was just my fault. I'll take the heat for that, and we'll get better next week. We'll come back stronger.
How tough is he to defend against?
He's one of the best in the game, he knows how to go up and get a ball. He's a strong runner with the ball. So, I thought we played a pretty good game on Larry. We just didn't get it done today.
As tough as this is, how do you not sulk? You have a huge game against the Giants.
There's no room for that. This is something that we got to be able to learn from. We got to get better. Of course, our goal was to be undefeated in the season, but you're going to have a loss, and this is early in the season. This didn't take us out of playoffs. Our goals are still able to be reached. We got to just watch film and get better.
And the Giants, obviously, it's a huge matchup.
So Kurt Coleman always willing to own up to mistakes. Adam, I did think that it was encouraging to see the way the defense played in the second half. They did bounce back, and they did show what made them so good in the first two games, I thought.
Yeah, they did, and they really shut down the Cardinals pretty much. I mean, the Cardinals really didn't do much until late. I think the Eagles might have been a little tired. Gap control is bad against Ryan Williams, who also got hurt. The coverage responsibilities on that play, it seemed obvious that, because when Asamoah used that technique to funnel the play inside, he needs safety help, and he didn't get it. Very disappointed. Guys are looking around. You hate to see that, because that's reminiscent of last season. You certainly have not. It's the first time I've seen it this season. They'll get that corrected. It's actually a very simple correction, but you can't keep having them, because that play actually was tremendous by Cobb. Sucked everybody in, and you see Cole coming over late, but he wasn't there soon enough. And it's just amazing. When you see Asamoah stop, you know exactly why, because he thought he had help.
All right, back to the phone lines now. Chris from Virginia joins us. Chris, how do you feel about this team? Big picture, 2-1 heading into next week's game against the Giants.
Big picture, you know, I didn't expect to win every game this season. You hate to see a form like this, but you know what? Any week, any team can win. Proven, you know, the 49ers, supposedly the best team in the NFL, lost to Minnesota today.
Right.
And New Orleans is 0-3. So you know what? We easily could be, you know, 0-3 just based on the first 2 weeks. So I'll take 2-1. Just wish, you know, didn't expect this kind of ball game overall from the whole team.
Yeah, that's fair, Chris. Any other takeaways from today's game?
The big thing, I mean, I only really saw the game really on, in my opinion, really only three plays is what really determined the game. The tip pass where Floyd catches a touchdown.
Yep.
Yeah, you know, the breakdown in coverage between Namdi and them, and then the debacle at halftime. So, I mean, essentially, you know, we're 3-4 plays from this being a legitimate game. We just need to stop the turnover and penalties and get it rolling. I'll be at the game next week, and, you know, I just want to see a better team than what I saw.
You will, because Andy and the coaches will get after the players after this game. And, you know, there were some mental breakdowns, but you're right. You know, when I've seen bad teams with the Eagles before, the Seattle game last year, which happened to be the last time they had lost, right, coming into this game, the Seattle game, the Thursday night game, is that correct?
Yes, correct.
That game was a major debacle. From the beginning of the game, we were never in it. Every phase of the game, they were terrible. This game, there were some breakdowns on all three phases. I thought the special teams coverage, that was another positive, was actually pretty good.
Yeah.
But where is the return game? Is it as bad as last year? No. But it's not anywhere near what we saw in preseason ball.
Yeah, you were wondering if in the second half they were going to throw Deshaun back there for a punt return to try to make something happen. But alas, that was not the case. Now, this was a homecoming of sorts. We talked about how Kevin Cobb, of course, was going up against his Eagles team. A homecoming of sorts for Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie going up against his former team where he's played the first three years of his career, drafted in the first round by the Cardinals. He had a chance to go up against Fitzgerald and all those other guys today. Didn't make any of the big plays that we saw the last couple games, but he did do his job, it seemed like.
Yeah, and they played sides. If you saw the man coverage, they, one guy's on the right, one guy's on the left, it seemed like, from what we could see on TV, that they kind of stuck with that, and that's fine. You know, they actually had the right coverages called, but when guys break down mentally, it only takes one guy, and the play is dead. I mean, that's what you saw today on the touchdown. But I think the Eagles are going to be okay? You know, Chris talked about it. There are only three plays, but hey, that's enough because the Cardinals played really phenomenal defense. I have to give the Cardinals credit. The absence of Jeremy Maclin was huge. We knew it going in the game, and it was shown during the game. It was big. Offensive line was very up and down. Too many big plays given up inside on both A-gaps. The Cardinals did a good job in coverage. I mean, they weren't really challenged enough. I mean, you know, receivers did not win. Jackson made a couple plays. I think Demaryius Johnson made some plays, which is very positive, but that fumble, cannot have it. The last thing that I want to leave you with here with ball security, they've got the Andy could say what he wants about this, that they're working on it, but it hasn't stopped. I mean, this is not acceptable. I mean, they're 2-1, and good for them, but you keep doing this, you're going to lose ball games.
All right, I did want to throw to Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie in the locker room. Let's find out what he had to say going back to his old stomping grounds.
Struggle a little bit. How much has he grown?
He's grown a lot. You know, if you just look at him, you know, he's a guy that have been making play for him. You know, he's the second receiver, and they look for him to do big things, and he's been doing that.
I apologize if you've already been asked, but did you do anything special as a defense against Fitzgerald?
No, sir. We just lined up and just played. And, you know, when he was in the slot, you know, our slot man was on left and right. We just stayed left and right.
He's a guy you obviously know very well. Does a performance like this surprise you? I mean,
you know what he's capable of. You know, you go through film, your team want to have a better game plan for him, you know, just far as just getting after him. But we didn't do that today. We just got to come out and do better.
Why do you think the team came out flat?
I couldn't even tell you. And that's a question you can't even ask. You know what I mean? It's just how it came out.
Let me
ask you this, just the fact that you guys clearly wanted to come back from this thing 3-0 and then really having a foothold in the division, just simply to be going back 2-1, I'm sure it's, you know, as disappointing as it gets.
You're still 2-1, you know what I mean? You still have a winning record, and the good thing about it, you got to go out there next week, and you know, you play a team that's in your division, you want to go back in front of your home crowd and try to pick up back on that winning side.
How quickly you guys think you can turn the page and get right?
Real quickly, you know, you can't dwell on this because it's a long season, and you know, at the end of the day, you just got to keep fighting.
Thanks, Tommy.
All right, one more caller before we close things out on the post-game show presented by Rico. John from New Mexico, you're closing it off. Make it a good one.
I'll try, guys. Not a good game. I'm really kind of disappointed by their effort. But what I will say is more than their offense, which everybody seems to be talking about, I'm really disappointed in the defensive game plan, the way what they put together. You know, I just don't understand. I mean, we've played Larry Fitzgerald, I don't know, what, 3 or 4 times in the last few years. I just don't understand why they just don't lock somebody on him the whole game, kind of the way Peterson was locked on DeSean Jackson.
You know, follow him all around? That's what you mean. You want him to you want that cornerback to follow Fitzgerald the entire game, no matter where he is.
That's exactly right. Gotcha. That's exactly right. I mean, you know, he was able to run free, and the maddening thing is when you hear Andy, you know, he's saying, well, we knew they were going to do this. You know, they knew they were going to move him around. So I just don't understand. I mean, they have two really good lockdown corners between, Cromartie and Asamoah. I don't understand why they just don't say, look, you know, if the guy goes to the restroom, go follow him. I mean, wherever the guy goes, go follow him. Stay on him. Put a safety over the top. And if they're going to get beat by, you know, their running game, which Arizona doesn't have, get beat by the tight end who you would think that, you know, this new kid, Kenner, can cover, or get beat by the third receiver. But don't get beat by Larry Fitzgerald. I mean, that to me was the most maddening thing of the whole game, besides the fact that they didn't run the ball in the first half.
It was maddening in the first half, John, although I do think you have to give some credit to the Cardinals offense for scheming ways to get Larry Fitzgerald in favorable matchups.
Yeah, and also, the only corner who plays man everywhere is Revis. He will actually be locked on whoever the team's best receiver is, and that's it. I mean, that's why they called Revis Island, because he's going to follow that guy. You know, Namdi would always play man sides. He had that one side in Oakland. That's it. And that's kind of what they're doing here now. But the other thing is I would have liked to see them do is press a little bit more instead of have one guy up, one guy a little bit farther back, because Fitzgerald was able to get a little bit of room. You see him get off the line here. In fact, you see Coleman again ran into, it might have been Jeff King right there. In fact, he did. That's Jeff King, number 87. Yeah. He's like the slowest tight end I've ever seen, but he's an excellent blocker. And actually, in a way, that was a pick play because he went like this. He picked two guys off. So, hey, listen, give the Cardinals credit. They had a great game plan today.
They did have a great game plan. Just like every time we get beat when we're in zone coverage. It's very rare that we ever get beat in press coverage.
I'm not sure. When you're looking at TV, it's so hard to know exactly what coverage they're in. Yeah, I'm not big on making blanket statements on TV tape, so got to be careful. But too many breakdowns today, and you know that tape's going to be tough for everyone to look at Monday morning. I can tell you that.
I hear you.
All right. Any other takeaways let's turn the page. Today was ugly enough.
Yeah.
Let's turn the page.
Giants
week. Already waiting for the Giants. A huge game next Sunday night, national television, Brian Dawkins night. Does that get you excited at least?
Yeah, if the Eagles come out flat against that team, I think then we have a coaching issue.
That's a good point.
I would think they're going to be majorly hyped for that.
That's
game.
A divisional game against a team that I mean, you want to talk about a storied history with a team? Two miracle in the Meadowlands, old one, new one. Some crazy games. We've gone through this. The Brian Westbrook fumble, the punt return. I mean, I've seen it all with the Eagles Giants. I was there 2 years ago at the new Meadowlands, and I'll never forget it. It's one of the highlights of my career covering that game for Fox. There have been some great moments, Bo, as you know, you've been here for a long time. And believe me, they're going to, as you said, put this game behind them. It's Giants week. That, you know, honestly, you would want a divisional rival this week because you just want to put that game behind you.
Yeah, and listen, the Eagles have dominated that matchup
over
the last few years. I think it's 7 of the last 8. The first time the Giants had won in several years was the first game they played last year, which was at Lincoln Financial Field, so the Eagles will feel some sense of needing to defend their turf. The big matchups in that game, assuming that Jeremy Maclin plays, Hakeem Nicks plays, all those guys play. What are the keys for that game in your mind?
You know, Nicks, I got to tell you, it's very similar to Fitzgerald. Yes, he's only 6 feet, 1.5 inch, but he's so strong physically, has enormous hands. His catch radius is great. Anything thrown to him, he'll get. You've got to be on point. For a guy who's not supposedly fast, he gets downfield really well. You got to worry about him now. Martellus Bennett, the Eagles last couple years have been good against the tight end. Bennett has been fantastic. There are three or four guys you got to stop there. I would be concerned. I don't think there's any question about it. The matchups are there, but the Eagles have some advantages because if you can block their front four, which is great, plays are there to be made because they've got problems in the secondary at cornerback. They've had a lot of injuries. Remember, Jarrell Thomas, one of their starting corners, is out for the season with yet another torn ACL. Michael Coe, one of their top backups, who's hurt. The Eagles are going to have some advantages here. And I think, actually, for the first time in many years, I think the Eagles are bet off at linebacker.
All right. Before we close things out here, we have one more player to toss to from the locker room. That's going to be DeSean Jackson. We're putting that through the system now. Okay. The big takeaways from this game, I think, after talking to the fans, one is Michael Vick, the pre-snap recognition, needs to get the ball out sooner than he has. Yeah. Obviously, the pass-run disparity, only 4 carries for LeSean McCoy in the first half. You can't argue that that was enough.
No, but again, they didn't have the ball enough. But the other thing is, I agree with some of the fans who said he should run, but I'm only okay if the pocket breaks down and you're 6 seconds into the play, run, get out of there. Don't get hit. But I'm not good with, okay, the zone should be Vic just to roll out and just throw the football. That's not the way you run it off.
And then the third thing, of course, once again, turnovers. 3 turnovers, damning turnovers, one of them on the red zone that completely changed the nature of the game. So we do go to DeSean Jackson now. He's in the locker room following the disappointing loss.
Made them look better.
Don't take nothing away from them. They did a great job, but in my eyes, I just felt we didn't give it our best shot. We wasn't out there. We didn't have our best game today. It was, like I said, they did a great job of doing that, but what I say, they were the best team I ever faced. I wouldn't say that, but they beat us, so.
How much did that play at the end of the half kill you guys?
Oh, yeah, it definitely took a lot of momentum from us. Being down, I think it was 17-0, had a chance to go in and score a touchdown to make it 17-7. That definitely hurt. So coming in the half, 24-0, it was just a bad position to be in. But, we came out, we still trying to fight. We just wasn't able to get things to go our way.
The turnovers, it's been a problem going back to last year. What else can be done to cut down on them?
That's a good question, man. I wish I could put my finger on it. I wish I could tell you. But it's just definitely costing us. Winning games, losing games, regardless. Turnovers cost us. The ideal situation, we don't want that to happen. But like I say, things happen sometimes, and just gotta keep doing what you gotta do to keep trying to be give yourself a shot to win the game.
Practice. You can't work on turnovers per se and cure the thing just in practice, right?
I mean, practice. Practice does a great job for during the week and things to get us ready for the game on Sundays and things like that. But as far as men or errors, turnovers, things like that, within the course of the game, things happen sometimes. So it was just unfortunate that we keeps hanging around here and keeps hanging around with us. But hopefully we could shake that very fast and got a big one next week versus the Giants. So there's something to look forward to, but definitely disappointing loss. We just got to move forward, though.
Sean, can you take us through the play along the right sideline where you thought you got interfered with by Peterson? The ball was, I guess, still in the air when you had McCollin out.
I felt I got a good route on him. Vic threw a great ball. I kind of got in his cushion. I was about to run right around him, and he just kind of threw his arms at me, and Daniel almost tackled me and things like that. So it was just a I know if you probably would rewind that play and look at it, you would see. But, it's just something that we still have to continue to deal with, with offensive, defensive pass interference, things like that, wide receivers, defensive backs. Because once the ball's in the air, you got to play your technique. in my eyes, you know, that's not right. And, you know, for a DB to grab you and things like that is definitely frustrating, especially, you know, when you can have a big play and things like that. So, you know, they're missing that. You know, it's just very frustrating and things like that. But you just got to keep playing.
Do you think, Sean, a loss like this will finally get your guys' attention with the turnovers? I mean, you guys got away from it, got out of the first couple games. I mean, do you think it'll take something like this for you guys to really, like, you know,
yeah, fix this loss definitely, you know, hopefully brings reality to us. You know, it's kind of on a high level, 2-0. You know, but now we're 2-1, so we got to get back to the basics, go back, you know, and just keep working, man. That's all I can really say. Move forward and, you know, see what we got to correct and fix.
Deshaun, did you know how close you were on that catch in the one?
All right, so once again, the Eagles fall to the Arizona Cardinals 27-6. Fall to 2-1 on the year. Await next Sunday night's showdown against the New York Giants at Lincoln Financial Field. Brian Dawkins night. Very excited about that. But today, obviously, not a great game. Any other takeaways before we part the Eagles fans here?
No, and the don't forget, Keem Jordan got hurt, and that's, you know, we mentioned that earlier. That could be significant. We'll see. But I think the Eagles overall have a lot to work on. But this is not one of those horrendous losses where a lot of things got exposed. Okay, we knew going into the game that the interior of the offensive line was a question mark. It's just that the Cardinals outplay them, and that's, I didn't really see anything. I didn't take anything away where I go, oh my God, this is a really big problem, and I didn't expect this. Boy, they really found something. No, it the turnovers, Bo. I mean, that has not stopped. That's something that's extremely troubling. I've never seen anything like this, and they can't stop it. Now the interceptions are down. The fumbles are not stopping. I mean, it's just got to stop at some point.
Well, that's